Anne and Jean returned to the Peltier cabin as a couple, somewhat changed. Jean with his new responsibility as he looked into the future and probable young family, and Anne as a provider of all that was domestic. They would not partake in sex yet, not past a kiss on the cheek. Anne knew that she was not ready. A tradition known as chevalerie could not be ignored, though, as it was expected. It was a given that wedding guests would return uninvited to the home of the newlyweds, banging pots and pans into the wee hours of the morning. The practice often involved shooting guns and forcing entry into the matrimonial residence. Anything to mischievously disrupt the presumed wedding night activities of a newly married couple. Anne and Jean were spared from this, and they only had to put up with a little rattling of pots and pans outside their window. They were happy to have missed out of more embellished hazing to induct them into the community of other married couples. They merely curled up tightly, knowing that the shared warmth of their bodies was an indication of what the future would hold. Anne had planned their first large meal for over a year. Her mother had trained her well. She had scouted the neighborhood for supplies, and when the time came, she was ready to cook for Jean and his parents. It was a success. Anne had practiced two recipes. One was a maple sugar pie, which was a custard-like dish of maple syrup thickened with cornstarch. The second was her favorite. Anne felt confident that she could serve her husband well, as was to be expected, with her maple syrup dumplings. Jean helped Anne in the kitchen often, a rare thing in a land where women were chattels. They often picked wild strawberries and then put them on slabs of wood to set in the sun to dry. They later would eat them with maple sugar in the winter, when fruit was not available. William and Michelle gave them the space and time that they needed. Michelle was keen to teach any details about life that Anne may have missed, but they allowed the young couple to grow into their tasks and become self-assured, willing to toil and ready for any uncomfortable happening. On Christmas after their first year, their home was well stocked with both wild game and the food that their mixed farming had produced. Anne cooked a splendid meal of roast venison with boiled herbs. She followed it with a dessert of a pudding of corn flour lightened with eggs, which was also sweetened with maple sugar. Jean understood that Anne was still a girl in so many ways, the least of which was physical. The rules of consummating a marriage were lenient. It was not unusual to wait for sex until a more advanced maturity, even until 4 or 5 years after a wedding. As a male in this century, he had no expectations from his young bride. Active sex could evolve slowly. It did, and both Anne and Jean enjoyed a process that was outside the realm of casual dating. They became true friends and partners within their home life, which also included their work life. They were a married couple, but as if setting time aside for each other in a dating or scheduled pattern. Finally, after playing and bantering about, they finally consummated the marriage. Anne served a venison course on many festive holidays, but on the third Christmas, this splendid meal was created by a very young girl, now a mother-to-be. Anne enjoyed her household duties, and she was very aware that throughout her lifetime, a never-ending schedule of labor was to be her life. However, she was of a new generation that had become aware of more worldly things. Some seemed incidental. Others were of a community changing. Knowing that Quebec City was being provided with cobblestone streets seemed a true awareness of the world. But other things mattered more to a young girl's mind. Through visiting with older girls at church and hearing rumors about the few elite women that would be seen only on occasion, she knew that it was true that the ornate dress of an aristocratic lady made any physical activity impossible. Life was meant to be that way. In contrast, her countrywoman's cap, thick dress, and wooden clogs were designed to protect her from the dirt and enable her to work simultaneously in rain, cold, mud, and manure. She knew her lot and accepted it.